And you're very welcome back to Week in Review. I'm Sarah Birmingham, sitting in Declan Raff's chair at the moment, and I'm about to be joined on air by Katia Tehonyuk, and I hope I said that name right. And Katia has done some fantastic and very insightful research into how children's play has changed over recent decades. Katia, you're very welcome to the show. I hope I said your name correctly there, did I?
Hi Sarah, thanks very much. Close enough.
You'll let me away with it then, so will you? Very good. It'd be great if you might be able to begin maybe by just giving a little bit of background on what it was that you studied and why you were particularly motivated, I guess, to look into this topic.
So I originally did my master's in architecture in UCD, and I actually have no idea how I got interested in play, but I ended up actually doing my master's dissertation on children's play and focusing in on the Liberties area of Dublin in the 1950s and 60s. And, you know, I found all these amazing records and photographs of what play was like back then. And I suppose I kind of got hooked from then.
And what exactly did you look into as part of your research, or how did you conduct your research?
So it was really to do with RTE kind of photographic archives. It was about actually going up and down the street in the Liberties areas, talking to older people and getting referred on to other people in the community, or people saying you should go talk to this person. And, you know, then what I did was I actually compiled everything, and I went back and I looked at it from the viewpoint of modern developmental psychology, and I picked out the different aspects of play, the kids were involved in back then, and tried to explain them why these were so important. And then I looked at modern play and realized that, you know, a lot of these important aspects of free play are actually missing now.
And you made some very interesting findings, as you said, throughout the course of your research.
Yeah, definitely. It was actually quite shocking. So, I mean, back then, kids in Liberties, you know, they had very little formal education opportunities, and they lived in overcrowded tenements, and, you know, they really had very difficult and poverty-filled lives. In terms of education, I mean, a lot of them didn't even get to finish primary school. So when you compare that to now, you know, of course, levels of general education so much higher, kids' opportunities for play have decreased so significantly. So, you know, nowadays kids are spending a lot more of their evenings doing homework or in after-school clubs or in structured activities. So they really don't engage in the type of play that kids used to engage in the 1950s and 60s.
Back in those days, the streets really were the ideal playground for children. And what kind of games or what did you find out about how they spent that time that they had then?
They were actually extremely inventive. They played with bits of wood and even made stuff from rubbish they found in the street. They made crates into box carts. They made dolls out of bricks and paper. You know, they swung from the lampposts. They played skipping games, hopscotch. You know, they basically explored and socialized in the streets. And there's this amazing quote that I found that kind of sums up this spirit of street play. It's Irish Times journalist Maeve Kennedy, and she says, you know, the children are out in force in Dublin's streets. The hopscotch courses and homemade swings abound, and the streets make almost ideal playgrounds, you know, full of things to climb on, pedestrians to jeer at, and that constant element of danger. And, you know, she kind of hit the nail on the head there. So in those decades, the streets were almost ideal playgrounds because they allowed the kids so many opportunities for free play, which is a really, really important type of play, actually.
And when did that kind of free play and that kind of spirit of inventiveness, as you say, when did that begin to disappear? And when did you find out that you know, more structured styles came into force? Or when did the attitudes in society begin to change about that kind of thing, I guess?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So I suppose the playground movement began in America, really, in the 1890s. You know, and it started as something that was maybe very good intentions. You know, in America, it was about saving children, you know, especially the kids of the immigrant poor, from the moral dangers of the streets, you know, civilizing them by putting them into supervised playgrounds. And I suppose Ireland's equivalent of this kind of movement began in the 1920s and 30s. So this started with the creation of 10 adult supervised playgrounds in Dublin. So this was kind of in order to make kids into good were play leaders in each one. So, you know, by the 1950s, there were these 10 playgrounds in Dublin, and, you know, they were well used and liked, but kids still really played predominantly in the streets and the courtyards and laneways. But, you know, this was kind of the beginning of the end, because this movement began the idea that children's play doesn't really belong in the street anymore.
And does the changes that have taken place in recent decades, like, have they negatively impacted upon children's development, their sense of freedom, or, you know, the kind of skills that they would have learned through that sense of free play in decades past?
Definitely, I think so. I mean, firstly, when you look at statistics, so kids' opportunities for free play are at their lowest. In fact, an American psychologist, Peter Gray, did a lot of research on this. You know, and loads of kids are now indoor children, which means that they're basically brought by an adult from the house to the school to the playground to wherever. So they're not, you know, free range. And another big impact of this that has been seen is an increase in child anxiety and psychopathology. And as well, you know, there's a marked increase in child obesity due to the fact that kids are no longer kind of free to roam. They're kind of more stuck indoors, I suppose.
And do you think that there are changes then that the government should make in terms of how building policy and that kind of thing to enable children to gain those skills? Is there anything that can be done differently?
Yeah, I mean, there's two different aspects. I mean, firstly, you know, the built environment has changed so much in the years since, you know, 1950s and 60s. And as well, there's kind of a societal change that maybe needs to be looked at, is that kids are seen as either being, you know, innocent and they need to be protected from risk and all risk needs to be mitigated, or the idea again that kids on their own just shouldn't be in public space because that's the domain of the adults. So, you know, we can make our streets safer for children by, you know, again, tackling the issue of cars, or stopping to think about playgrounds as just walled off spaces, or integrating, you know, kind of, I suppose, having inward-looking housing schemes with no cars allowed in the very centre, you know, junk playgrounds. There's loads of different things that can be done.
Well, it will be certainly very interesting to see how that does take shape over the coming years, and it's nice to have that retrospective look back as well over how changes have been made in previous decades. Thanks very much for coming on and telling us all about your fantastic research today, Katia. It is very interesting and very worthwhile, so thanks very much for that.
Thank you.
That's been fantastic. Thank you very much. Thanks.
And yeah, that's really interesting, Sarah, isn't it? It's a fantastic topic and a great insight into play activities over the last 100 years, really.
Certainly is, yeah. And it's very interesting to see that while a lot of advancements, I guess, have been made in society, that there's certainly some negative impact there, as we were talking about technology earlier. You know, it can have a negative impact in terms of children's confidence and in terms of the socialisation of children as well, I guess. So it'll definitely be an interesting one to look at for the future.